Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth, part three of NFL Week 7 preview. This would be the second segment that includes game previews. We're about six games in, something like that. So we will join, if you will, programming currently in progress. Okay, I pick first on this. Giants at Broncos. This is the, I'm going to wish for it. I see it's possible. This is Giants 2-4. They've won two games in a row. Broncos are 4-2, look pretty freaking bad. Bo Nix is not that dude. I know Peyton keeps thinking he is. Have you seen my quarterback? Let me tell you about my quarterback. He's not that dude. But, of course, the defense is so, so good. How do all these defenses historically Broncos have had more than their fair share of, like, historically prominent defenses. And I know we're kind of early in the year, but geez, they're leaning on them so heavily. I'm not saying they're going to be like the Ravens or that defense that Manning had, but it's like, man, they tend to go towards it. That's a rhetorical question. You have to answer that. You can if you want what you're talking about it. But man, against, they're leaning so much on their defense, and it is at Mile High. Against the Eagles was the first time in 81 regular season games the Giants have scored more than seven in the first quarter. Jackson Dart's looking nice. I particularly pointed out to you what I thought was like a film room play where he's getting a little bit of pressure, rookie quarterback. He goes right, but he definitely still settles. And this is within, like, you know, when Patrick feels comfortable, there are guys just on the other side of his linemen who are within a stride of him. But he goes, I can tell and I believe them. They're still on the other side of my linemen. I have a moment here. I definitely have a moment. And I can read that leverage and then I'll go up or I won't. But I believe in where my lineman is enough. There's no reason to bail yet. And I saw that in Jackson Dart. Really nice. There's no reason to bail yet, even though there was a lot of traffic. And he went to the right back and he just sat there about 4 feet away and reset where he was and looked again. And then as it started to adjust, then he veered off left and had a nice, nice play, probably 35 yards to the sideline and probably gained about 10 to 15. I don't remember. But I just thought that was a great sign. I know it was only one play, but when you have a guy who can run, who has legs, and he doesn't just lean on it, and then he reads that pressure well, I thought that was pretty impressive. Against the Eagles when he had a scramble for like a nice first down or near a first down. But he really
took... That's a big game for them too. That's a big game. That's a big moment. So even more so when you're in that big high pressure moment, for him to fall back and be like, no, I'm going to make the right decision here. I'm going to do what I studied this week. Like, yeah, that is a very good sign. So I understand why that impressed you so much.
Yeah, because even when he first settled in, he probably still had that first just slant left veer and go for 3 or 4 yards. And he could have ran there, if I remember the play right. And, you know, you can identify, and he did in his, what, first 2 weeks? Was that his third start? I think it was his third start. He identified with getting those run yards in. Right. And so you do that before you know it, it's a habit. And you know how it is. Running quarterbacks who are really, really good, if they're picked high, it gives them the leeway to develop as quarterbacks. But they do need to develop as quarterbacks. And so I saw early where he could do the thing where I'm going to get a little bit of leeway because I can run. And instead, he really treated that first as a true quarterback. Little Jordan Humphrey. Large wide receiver has good for the Giants, has good chemistry and output with Dart so far. I think maybe Darius Slay was out. I don't know if he is now. Linebacker Abdul Carter for the Giants, hamstring is questionable, but it's at the Broncos, man. And I really want the Giants to show up here, and I don't believe, boy, this might be an upset pick here because I'm going to assume the Broncos are favored. We'll check those numbers. I'm going to start with my upset pick here and go division fun. And then if maybe I'll hit my mark on the minimum I need. I will go Giants here, and I'll call it a fluke, but I don't know that I believe it's a fluke. I do with that defense. I would believe that's a fluke. But I'll go Giants by 2, and I'm just going to settle with that. And if I have too many underdogs, I do. So who do you have, Giants at Broncos?
All right. Well, it makes it tough for me because, you know, I really also agree. I mean, the Broncos just scored 13 points against the Jets and beat the Jets by 2 points. So I don't want to believe in them at all as a team, because when I see stuff like that, it just irritates the crap out of me. You have a team like the Jets, which we just covered, which is disgustingly awful, has no type of synchronization at all, and you beat them by 2 points. 2 points. Aaron Glenn is their coach. Justin Fields, who threw negative 10 passing yards against you, is their quarterback. And you beat them by 2 points. So, no, I don't even – yes, I'm sure it's an upset in the freaking whatever, in the spread and stuff. But the Giants, they look like a better team right now. If they were 0-0 and we had just seen preseason or something, the Giants look better right now, man, and they're moving with more momentum, in my opinion. Yes, Denver did have that huge upset win against Philly, but I'm not even as impressed by that anymore.
Right.
I'm not impressed by Philly at all. I'm not impressed by Philly at all. And then they beat the Bengals 28-3 when they were having Jake Browning play trash, about just as bad as Justin Fields. And now it just seems like they're in a regression. Like, how do you beat the Jets by 2 points? So, and yeah, sure, it was international, whatever. But, you know, and I hate to keep on taking the same picks, but I'm also going to take New York, and I'm going to take New York by 7.
All right. I was thinking about what you just said and thinking about something similar this last week as I was trying to figure out, man, DeMarcus has got some really good picks. He's doing well. So I'm like, it made me think of, like, I wonder if it's going to be harder for you when you're 35, because you've been doing picks for so much longer, and this whole idea of spread is more in your head. And it made me think of how they'll be like, you know, like young people can take on new ideas easier. They just have more creativity. You know what I mean? And then, and it just made me wonder about that. Like, is it going to be harder for you when you've just seen, you know, decades of spreads, and it's more of a concept in your head? But I loved what you just said there. If both of these teams were starting out 0-0 or had the exact same record, the one team looks better right now. I'm not saying, and again, I already made my selection, but I just like how you put that, that if you didn't know the record, or if the record were somehow even, it just looks like the Giants are playing better. I like looking at it that way. Okay, Chargers, and you're picking first on Colts 5-1 at Chargers 4-2. So go ahead with your take.
Yeah, so I really like this matchup. It's probably going to be a very good game. You've got a hot team in the Colts, first in points per game, fourth in yards per game, versus the Chargers, seventh in yards per game, which is still pretty good, but 23rd in points per game. So the Chargers are going to have to clean up some mistakes. It looks like they have the 15th turnover differential in the league versus the Colts' fourth. So they're going to have to play a really clean game, you know, if they want to come out with this, because the Colts, by all means...
Could you say that turnover thing again that you just said? I missed it.
Yeah, I said that the Chargers are 15th in the league in turnover differential with a -1 turnover differential, and then the Colts are 4th in the league with a +5.
Gotcha.
So they're going to have to play a really clean game if they want to come out with this one. Yes, they're at home, but like we've said the previous 3 weeks, the Chargers don't have home games because they don't have fans. And so you've got the Colts moving in on a neutral field, essentially. I think they literally – I saw something where people were thinking that the Chargers have automated crowd noise. That is absolutely hilarious if it's true. Absolutely hilarious if it's true. Jonathan Taylor – all of a sudden looks like Jonathan Taylor again after having a down year. They got young, hot Tyler Warren leading them in receiving, and you got Daniel Jones looking like a completely different human being. And
yes,
as long as they continue to do those things, it's so odd. He really looks like a different person. I don't know what happened. But so if all those things continue, why would I not take the Colts here, you know? And the Chargers are just injury-ridden right now. Like we were talking about before the podcast even started, they're about to be on their third-string running back, and he's questionable. So no threat of a running game, especially with Joe all out. Actually, they've got three linemen out, don't they? And so, or they have one questionable lineman, and then two of them are out. So they're missing Trey Pipkins.
Yeah, Pipkins is out, and Alt is doubtful. So usually it's questionable if there's a good chance. If anybody throws in doubtful, which I think it may have even gotten out of the official ones, so I think that's just an adjective people are using on their own, then he's probably not playing, because usually that would say questionable. But maybe Harbaugh's hiding something, you know. I don't know. I don't know why you'd do that with a tackle, though.
Could be. So, yeah, with all that being said, I mean, you've got the injuries stacking up on the Chargers side, which makes it harder to play a clean game because you never know when a third-string running back is going to get popped for a fumble. You never know when you're not going to have a running game at all, and so you're going to be forced to make riskier throws. I just don't see the Chargers playing a better game than the Colts this week. Whether that means the Colts are as dominant as they look or not, that can be determined later, but I think the Chargers are on their way back to proving themselves to not be real contenders. Like I said last week, nobody will respect them the way that they haven't in the past decade. I'm going to continue to lean into that take, and I'm going to take the Colts by 10.
Colts by 10. Oof. That'll probably get your either against the spread in at least, even if it's, I don't know who's favored here. I'll bet you the this might be, because remember, I did a little bit of research, so it might be in my brain, even though I don't know it. The Colts might be fit. Nah, I bet you Chargers are favored there. Okay, yeah, and to your point with the Chargers, okay, let's think about this. Chiefs, week one, what is the three-letter adjective of how they looked? Go ahead. I've used it quite a bit lately. Three-letter word of how they looked.
Oh, ass.
Yes. They looked like ass, and they still only lost by six to on a neutral field, right, against the Chargers. The Raiders, they beat, but only 20-9. Granted, it was at the Raiders. Broncos, they win, but by three. And you know what we're thinking of the Broncos? A little bit more mid than maybe we did think a few weeks ago. Giants, they lose, right? Commanders, they lose. At home by 17, and they barely beat the Dolphins. This is the Chargers. So, yeah, I hear where you're coming from. With Hampton out, Vidal is starting, I think his name is. Chargers are good against tight ends in that Travis had the most in week one, 47. But they got Tyler Warren this week. So we'll see how that goes. Tyler Warren having a heck of a rookie season. Charvarius Ward is
missing a corner.
Yeah, Charvarius. Wait a second. Which side is Charvarius?
Chargers missing a corner, right? Didn't you say that before the cast?
I don't remember. Who's Kenny Moore? Is that the Chargers?
Could be. Not totally sure. Sorry.
Charvarius Ward is out, and that was the Colts, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you said injured corner bowl or something before.
Yeah, Moore, cornerback, is questionable with an ankle, but he might be on the Colts side. So the Chargers, to your point of the line, yeah, we got one tackle out, one doubtful, being Joe Alt. The running back, as you said, questionable, Hassan Haskins. On the Chargers linebacker side, Khalil Mack is trying to debut for 2025. So Colts at Chargers. I'm probably gonna. We have disagreed already a couple of times, surprisingly, because of the way it's gone. But part of that's Thursday night football. But I'm not gonna disagree here, except in points. Colts. I'm gonna say it's a lot closer, and I'll probably put me within. I'm gonna say. Actually, I don't know who the favorite is. So who knows what it's gonna do. I'm going to say Colts by, I don't know why I only think Colts. It's okay. I'll make it close. Colts by 4. All right. So next game.
Cardinals and Packers in Arizona.
Packers 3-1-1 at Cardinals 2-4. Jacoby Brissett, it seems like it's close to the vest. Last I heard, it's just still like they're keeping up in the air whether Kyler is going to play or not. I kind of feel like they're leaning towards Jacoby, and I think I heard that there's a bye after this. Then Kyler could just rest all the way through the bye. If you want to look that up real quickly while I talk, you can. But otherwise, I think they're probably going to go with Jacoby Brissett. He is favoring Zay Jones, who had a nice week last week. Harrison Jr. had a concussion issue, but he is cleared from concussion protocol, so they should have him back on the Cardinals' side. Watson is out, but has been out for the Packers. Josh Jacobs, Packer running back, is also questionable. Arizona's running back, Dave Mercado, is out, the guy who let go of the ball potentially too early, or certainly was trying to start to release it before early. He's out with an ankle.
Allegedly.
Yeah, right? Or is it punishment? So the Packers at the Cardinals, I don't think the Packers are world beaters, but just the Cardinals and the way they lose games and just the way they don't finish games. I do actually, for the moment, think if it's in the right game script, Brissett kind of reminds me of Flacco. You don't expect him to do anything long-term. However, in a given moment, sometimes you go, well, that game, I'd actually take him over my starter, right? I mean, you wouldn't do that. I mean, Flacco in other situations, you wouldn't do that versus Burrow, but you know what I mean? You're like, no, he could have a pretty good game as a starter. And I kind of feel like that with Jacoby, you know, versus Kyler. However, no, not in any way, shape, or form am I picking the Cardinals over the Packers. And even though it's at the Cardinals, I say this is the game that Jacoby looks like the guy you wouldn't want to have starting for you for 10 games. And I'm going to say this is an easy, easy win by the Packers. I'm going to say they look like they're world beaters again. And I'm going to assume way above the spread and go 16 points here by the Packers.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really much of an argument the other way, because even if you throw Kyler in there after he's had a questionable week, you know, you never know how much participation he's had in practice. I also want to say their coach sucks. He looks gay. he just looks gay. The crap he was doing on the sideline was gay.
He's the one that had to apologize,
and he hit his running back,
Dare Mercado. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, gay. And so,
bro, you're the coach, and this is where people will get misunderstand. When you're the coach, all right, and your running back makes a mistake, granted it's a mistake, but you're a leader, and punching that dude is gay. All right. So I know you guys are probably thrown off, but it doesn't make that not true. That's gay, man.
It is.
Sometimes some punching Instagram somebody can be gay.
Like, some people in Instagram comments are like, coaches who get up in your face and get physical with you are the best coaches in the world. Okay, I agree to a certain extent. What he did was gay. He walked by, yelled something at him, hit him in the chest with the most sissy windup I've ever seen in my life, and then kept walking. He wasn't trying to teach him a lesson. He wasn't trying to give him good, hard, tough love coaching. No, he was just being a loser. And so he's going to lose this week, and it's going to be bad. And the Packers are going to win by like 14. I don't know what you said yours was. I know it was big, but I got Packers by 14.
I mean, I said 16. Yeah, and I got to say, speaking of not gay interactions, one of my favorite images I've seen lately of an Andy and Travis blow up is when Andy looked like, well, I ain't backing out, backing down, and or it seemed like it was the last most public blow up in our last loss, probably Jacksonville, I think. And
I thought it was Chargers the last time I saw that.
No, it was something more recent than that, because okay. Chargers were week one. So anyway, they act like, you know, this is not the time to, you know, get frustrated when you're only trying to win against teams that are trying to, you know, put you into the ground. But, people aren't supposed to get frustrated a little bit when they're trying to win. But anyway, it was Andy Reid, like, comes back at Travis just as much. In fact, he may have been approaching him. That is totally not gay, and I love it. Love it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And it's kind of, I see that with Sean Payton and Bo Nix, which I think they're both overrated.
But yeah, you like their fiery.
That dynamic. Yeah, I do like that they have that dynamic. I think that could take them places a little bit, you know, just knowing that they both care that much. But the way the Cardinals coach did it was just the most gay thing I've ever seen in my life.
Like he didn't even own it in a way? That's weird.
Yeah, and then he backed out. He didn't even try because he knows it wasn't his intention. He didn't even try to cop into that argument that I was just making about, you know, getting tough love and giving that to your players.
Right. Nobody would have believed it.
Like, no, he was just walking right by, swung on him, yelled something like a little kid. Like, it was just sad and stupid. They need to fire him.
So after this, the Packers will be what? Did they have the bye?
3-1.
Yeah, no one's going to think they're world-beating with the way they had to tie against the Cowboys, but it's going to start, are they a power? All right, so next game then, you're picking first. This is an exciting one.
I like this one a lot.
Commanders 3-3. I know why you like it, because I can read your mind. Commanders 3-3 at Cowboys 2-3-1. Go ahead, you picking first on this one.
Yeah, so I actually think it's going to be a pretty close game. Yes, there is going to be the factor that it's going to be funny if the Cowboys lose, because it always is. I really do think it's going to be a good and a close game. The Commanders are just, you know, they're kind of a young team, so it's kind of hard for them to blow teams out, blow them away. It can happen, though. The Cowboys like to have those big, embarrassing losses at home sometimes, so it totally could happen. But, no, I like the matchup. It's a good division game. This will be a fun one to watch, 325. It's on Fox, so it's probably the Brady-Burkhart duo. So I always like watching those games.
I like him fine. And, by the way, I don't like to go to drama, but for a quick minute, and we're not going to talk about it, but this idea of Brady criticized a quarterback, good. Yes, I want him to. Now shut up. That's all we'll talk about it. He should criticize a quarterback. That is what he's there for. Anyway, go ahead.
What, is there some type of drama with that? Who did he criticize?
Whoever won last week and he was the commentator, they won anyway. And all he did was say that's basically, it was what a commentator who has knowledge should say, that's not a good play or that wasn't a good throw. I don't even remember what it was, but people are just trying to make the rounds. It's like, no, that's what he's there for. So that's what I want him to say, because I may not have known that it was a straight up bad play. I don't know. And so right. That's what he should say. Anyway, go ahead.
I'll have to look into that. Yeah, no, I know people like to give Romo flack too, just for like literally people get annoyed by the fact that he does share so much of his in-game knowledge. And I'm like, dude, I love that type of stuff. It makes it so much more interesting to listen to. It's so much less borderline and like, you know, oh, they can't do that. You know, the type of thing that you hate to hear. You just can't do that.
Right.
You know, like, oh, wow, that took some real insight and intelligence. No, I really love the deep analytical but experienced commentating. So I love having guys like Romo. I love having guys like Brady commentating.
Yeah, people.
It's just fun.
Last year, I didn't even recognize his voice for 2/3 of the year. I don't know how. Maybe just watching a bunch of games on NFL Network afterwards, so I wasn't catching his broadcasts. I mean, it was like week 10. I'm like, who the hell's that? And then I realized it was Brady. But I know he was in his growing pains, but when I supposedly early last year, but I've got no problem with him. I think people are just trying to pick on the GOAT or something. I don't see any real, there are certain ones I don't like. He's definitely not one of them. And I love his, the guy he is, Burke, whoever you said.
I think it's Kevin Burkhart.
Burkhart. That's it. That's it. And I really like him. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Continue on. Sorry about that. Apologies.
So all good. Back to the matchup. You got Commanders and Cowboys, young team taking on the veteran laced but soft defense Cowboys. So Cowboys are 19th in turnover differential. The Commanders are 24th, surprising enough, which part of that I think is because Jaden Daniels missed a couple games. Am I not wrong there?
Yeah, he did.
Teams have been running all over the Cowboys, and this is bizarre. Here's a bizarre stat. Cowboys are first in yards per game in the league with 387. Oh, I totally read that wrong. Okay, so it's not bizarre. They have 29.7 points per game. and they're third in the league at that. And somehow they're below 500, though. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could totally win this game. They totally could. It could absolutely be a bounce back week. Man, and I actually think I am going to take them, even though I want the Commanders to win. For some reason, I think I'm going to take Cowboys this week to move up to 3-3-1, and Commanders go 3-4. And I'm going to take Cowboys by 6.
Cowboys by 6. I have not decided on this one. So, tell me who did the Commanders beat recently? As I would rather not.
The last win was against the Chargers 27-10, but then last week they lost to the Bears 25-24.
That's right. That's right. So, for the and what about their other they're 3-2. So 3-3. 3-3. I looked at a game deal. So, Giants won, lost at Packers, not bad, but a reasonable loss, but a 9-point loss. Win big versus Raiders like they should. Loss at the Falcons.
That's with Mariota.
Okay, I didn't.
Raiders and Falcons were with Mariota.
Okay, and they have a reasonable loss against the Falcons because the Falcons, turns out, are pretty good. We just didn't realize it. Outside of that strangest thing ever, 0-30 thing. Isn't that when they're, was that the 0-30 game? Or was that
yes.
the, yeah.
The Falcons lost to the Panthers 0-30 for no reason.
You can't understand it. Like, I don't know what happened that day on the planet. At the Chargers, they won. And then versus the Bears, they lost a close one. They made some mistakes. Daniels made mistakes in that game. I was a little surprised.
They would have won.
Yeah. And remember, it was raining quite a bit. And so that was a fumbled handoff. So they could have won there, which makes them 4-2. So good. I'll get a chance to disagree here, even though you might be right. We have disagreed twice, but I will take the Commanders here to try to make up for that loss that they shouldn't have had last week. Going against a not very good secondary, and I'll go Commanders by... I picked 4 before, but this feels right. Like a 20. No, it's going to be a high scoring. 31-27. Yeah, it's a thing. 31-27. We haven't been given exact scores. I don't mean to. I'm just trying to think of what, if that made sense to me. Like, it should be somewhat high scoring.
Back to you, Bob.
Oh, I'm kidding. See, I'm both voices, so I could. All right. Yeah, thanks for listening to this part 3 of the NFL Week 7 preview. And we'll get the rest done in either one part or two parts. So that'll be posted as soon as we can. Thanks again for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.